Our meditation comes from the sixth chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, as you just heard a few minutes ago. Let us pray. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but thy name be glory because of thy mercy and because of thy truth, for thy word is truth. Amen. I came in late last night from a trip. Accidentally fell asleep. My wife didn't wake me up. And then I got up this morning and tried to print off my sermon, and the computer went printed off. And that always marks the beginning of Lent and Ash Wednesday. The passage for today is, be careful. Do not do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. There's a little bit of a strange advice here as I see it, nonetheless. Do not do acts of righteousness before others so they can see it. The question that runs through my mind is, don't I want to display good righteousness before people? Don't I want people to see me doing my prayers, living a good, respectable, pious Christian life before others? Don't I want to do this in public? Don't I want people to see this? It seems a little strange here, especially when there will not be any reward for you before the Heavenly Father in heaven. What does this all mean? One might assume this is not the point of the passage here today. Perhaps simply stated, our life as a Christian is lived not before others simply, but before God. The life of who I am, the life which has been given to me, is coram deum, that is, before our Heavenly Father in heaven. Luther conveniently adds to every commandment in the Ten Commandments in its meaning, we should fear and love God. He does so in order to remind us that all the commandments have to do with our life before God, and not merely some kind of moral mandates of the do's and the don'ts in this life, or our public appearance of righteousness before our neighbor. God is he who establishes this life, this true life, not others, not the world, not anything that belongs to this world, but that is, namely, God. God does this as he sent his only begotten Son to bring us life and love to this world. It is only in him that we have true communion with one another, true love, true life in him. As we hear our Lord pray, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. When I was in the parish, had all sorts of different kinds of members in my parish, all different personalities. Some people that are more serious, some not. Some got very aggravated really easily. Others who always want to fight. And those who are just extremely helpful and loving and put up with me once in a while. But there's a variety of personalities within the parish life. But it was difficult for me initially to try to deal with the people who did not follow the traditional mannerisms or respect, or those who would not necessarily be distinctive, bear a certain distinctive Christian attitude or approach to things. And it frustrated me, especially when I had to respond and I may have even hurt their feelings, and that hurts me even more. But then I came to the conclusion, as Scripture does, that my relationship with them is not determinative of their relationship with me. In other words, my life with these dear Christians, the love that I bring to them is not of a deserving love, but a love from God, namely through Jesus Christ our Lord. So my relationship with others is in direct my relationship with God. If I hate my brother, the Bible says you're a murderer, but you also, in turn, also hate God. If you despise other people, you despise God. Our relationship with one another is determinative not by this world or others, but by God himself who comes to us. Sin is not a moral issue, but a threat of the true communion that we have in God through Jesus Christ our Lord, and thus also through one another. But this also reminds us that there is no such thing as a private sin that just pertains to you. Sin has all to do with those things that threaten this communion that we have with God and thus with one another. Perhaps the hardest sin we must struggle with in life are the sins that are done against someone else. In other words, sins that hurt someone else's life. Christians struggle with this problem, especially when the person they have sinned against is hurt by this experience and maybe for life. This could involve sexual sins, verbal sins, or other physical sins. It seems that people can deal with secret or personal sins of your own struggles, but these public sins that deal with others that you have sinned against, someone else that you have hurt because of what you have done, is a deeper issue within the Christian struggle in this life in the matters of sin. First, must realize that these sins do not happen without reason. Even the greatest saints have fallen into such struggles. The point is not to be missed, and these sins are not simply to be despaired over in life, but we are to learn from them and return back to that life in which God has so graciously given to us. Secondly, you must understand that all sins are public, and an act against someone else, no matter how private sins may be and the struggle it may appear, sins always pertain to you and someone else. In other words, against your neighbor, thus against God, or against God himself. Christ took upon the sins of the world, but he did so in public, upon the cross. Your sins are of a public matter because they do not only pertain to you, but to those whom you have sinned against, and again, ultimately, God. Even though privately confessed in private confession, it is a confession to one whom bears the public office of the holy ministry, and therefore even private, it is of a public nature. Private confession, a practice upheld in our confession, allows the Christian to confess their sins publicly, that is, before the public office of the holy ministry, but in private. Perhaps you might remember the first time in which you've confessed in private confession. How difficult it was to confess your sins, to convict yourself, to feel vulnerable before the pastor whom you confess your sins. This is how we must treat our sins and never act like any sin is protected or private within our own souls, or to have the devil make us believe that we are alone in our own struggles and therefore we must keep all our sins hidden within ourselves. We do not need to number all our sins before our confessor, but we must treat all sins as if they will no longer remain in hiding, as the devil wishes it, but we will expose them to spite the devil, knowing that the blood of Christ will cover all sins, restore us as a new creation in him in our baptismal grace, and bring us to all righteousness in holy absolution. The devil wishes you to be alone in your own struggles, but Christ, however, does not. For Christ comes to you and continues to come by his own divine grace and his own body and blood, with the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, to remind you that we are not alone, but we are united by this blood, this grace that transcends all understanding, that we may declare ourselves righteous before God and one another in the blood of Christ Jesus. The passage for today reminds us that we are not simply to fall into pride and arrogance before our own dear Christians and others, but we walk humbly and show mercy to one another, for the struggles of others are nothing but your own, for we're all the same cloth, that of original sin. But as dear Christians, we are all washed by the blood of the Lamb and our baptismal grace, that we may call ourselves dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today, unto all eternity. In the blood of the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen.